That's odd. Who knows? I'm in the middle. I have wires strung all over my truck right now because I'm in the middle of finding the best locations and what radios I want to roll with in here in my truck. And I have three radios right now on. And I got a mess going on here, to be honest. I have four antennas on this vehicle right now, so I have my own problems over here, sir. Oh, some of my own problems. Oh, yeah, let me tell you. Yeah, I know what that's like, too. I do service calls and stuff, too, but I'm in the, you're in the cable field, I'm in the broadcast field. So we put fires out, don't we? Yeah, that's strange that I can't hear Matt's repeater, the KC9YNM system. I cannot pick it up. I don't even faintly detect it with my radio, which is really strange. Normally, I can like on a 99% basis, I can usually hear it. So I don't know what's happening there. Maybe he's on a real low power. Maybe his transmitter's running real low power or something.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Man, with all the storms and stuff, well, depending on where he's at, who knows, anything's possible. And broadcast, that's pretty cool. What, talking about TV or radio or both or what?
No, AM and FM, no TV. I got out of the TV stuff. I had enough of the television. Broadcasting.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Man, I'll tell you what, man, I watch so many YouTube videos on those AM and AM, FM, and shortwave stations and all the goings on in those buildings, and man, so cool. Some of the old school setups and the new stuff, I appreciate it all, obviously, but man, some of that old stuff, the shortwave stuff, and some of even the AM stuff, obviously, it's a cool, it's amazing anybody figured all that out and how much it's progressed over the years. It's really cool. So it's cool that you get to mess with it. Well, I guess I say it's cool from the outside looking in. For you, it's probably like, okay, here we go again.
No, it's the same thing. Yeah, I look at it in the same, same identical way. It is cool. I love working with high power electronics. You know, things when you hit the high voltage button on a transmitter and there's something wrong and it sounds like an M80 firecracker goes off or like a stick of dynamite and you think to yourself, this is going to be a long day. But I actually enjoy stuff like that. The owners of the radio stations don't particularly care for it because usually when something goes kaboom like that, you just see dollar signs.
Yeah, oh yeah, I hear you on that. And those dollar signs in those environments aren't. It's one thing to blow up a ham radio and let the magic smoke out, as they say, or the big booms. Well, they're smaller booms in our ham radio world, but yeah, those big booms in those environments, we're talking big money, I'm sure. And it's really cool to see the big power, man, the 50,000 watt stations and stuff. I only see them on YouTube and stuff. But it always reminds me of all the, you know, all the head ends I've been in for cable over the years and how much they've changed from when I started in the 90s and how it wasn't primitive by any means, but, you know, it was just a whole different world. And with so much fiber optics and all networking and stuff nowadays, it's all cool stuff, but, you know, the technology changes fast. But I'm sure you see it, even though the base main things have to stay in radio, which is cool. How they get their content, I'm sure, has changed a lot over the years. But either way, it's cool all the way around, that's for sure.
have to go out to the head end of at those sites? Are there sites you go or where there's a head end, or did they get rid of those?
Yeah, Roger. I don't go anymore because I'm not with Comcast, but for the 28 years I was with Comcast, I spent a lot of time in the head end. There's dedicated head end techs, and there's definitely head ends still all over the place. There's less than there used to be. You know, every city had their own head end in the 90s. Like Hammond would have one, Gary would have one, Valpo, Portage. Every city had their own little head end. But now they're just more like little hub sites, in and out stuff. And then you have your major, bigger head ends. Like in Griffith, Indiana, there's one. In Homewood, Illinois, there's one. And there's a lot of fiber linking and stuff. But, yeah, I definitely go in there. And that's why I appreciate watching the broadcast audio videos and seeing those head ends in comparison, because similar stuff. I mean, it's RF bouncing around all over the place, and just how you get it from one place to the other. And so I spent a lot of time in head ends helping out or just watching and learning and stuff like that. So, yeah, and they're still around here and there.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, I figure with the fibers and stuff, you know, that are sprouting up all over, the fiber connections, did away with a lot of them, so there's probably not that many head ends anymore. I'm sure, like you say, you know, they're all over the place, but maybe every city no longer has a head end because now they can do so much stuff over the fiber optic cable. But yeah, and broadcast, the highest power AM I've ever worked with is only 10,000 watts, so I've never worked at a 50,000 watt AM-er. Now on the FM site, I worked with 50,000 watt FM stations, but because of the antenna gain, the highest power transmitter that I've ever had to work on the FM band was a 30 kilowatt unit. Single tube, a 4CX 20,000, and that's in the RF output stage. Then they've got solid-state versions of those, and they use a whole bunch of power amplifier stages that are all combined to get that kind of output power.
Yeah, it's so amazing how that works and how big. I mean, even though, well, I don't know about the new stuff, but how big, man, those transmitters have to be. With those giant tubes, and you said only 10,000. Yeah, that's tiny, huh? Well, I guess the ECB guys drive around in their trucks nowadays. Well, probably forever since ECB came out. But, yeah, 10,000, man, isn't that insane? When you think about you're on an HD and you're doing 5 watts, and then all of a sudden you're over here looking at 10,000 or 30,000, whichever it'll be, with that giant antenna. Really cool stuff, man. I'm trying to think of the station I'll never remember. I think it's in St. Louis, maybe. One of the guys that I watch on YouTube, he was there. I think it's a 50,000 watt station, maybe. But, man, the coax, and I'm not sure what they do for, like, 10,000 watts and stuff, but the coax, that's the pipe, basically a big pipe with a little pipe in the middle. Man, so cool. That's really cool to me. I guess I'm a nerd, I think. Back to you.
Dustin, I can appreciate it. Yeah, I nerded out too long time ago. Yeah, on 10,000 watt on AM, because the frequency is so low, you can get away with only 7/8 inch coax or heliax. You know what that stuff is. But on 50,000, I think they're running inch and 5/8 coax cable. So, you know, there's either heliax for that or rigid. And you probably know about, you know, the difference between rigid, that's just copper pipe, and then the heliax inch and 5/8. So, yeah, so that's big enough for 50 kilowatts of raw power. But on FM, now it's a little different. We run for like a 30,000 watt transmitter, we're running like 3 1/8 inch coax. So that stuff gets pretty good sized.
Man, that's really cool, man. That really is. And yeah, I didn't really think. It's funny that you mentioned the low frequencies, because that's my life in the cable world. Well, it's not as much now, because like you said with the fiber optics, I'm still doing coax stuff, but like, you know, the majority of the stuff that I do these days, when I was at Comcast for all those years, I was a line technician that fixed and repaired outages and, like you said, putting out fires and maintaining the plant. And the plant was always fiber backbone with coax, you know, to the houses and trunk cables and feeder cables and all that kind of good stuff. But nowadays, it's mostly fiber. And, yeah, definitely that low end. So, yeah, you obviously lose way more signal on the high end than you do on the low end. So that was always a problem in some of the areas I worked. They built them as like a 550 megahertz system max. So it'd be like 54 megahertz to 550 would be the highest channel. And then they retrofitted. They kept retrofitting and upgrading the amplifiers to go 750 and then 860, and then you just get these massive roll-offs on the high end because that attenuation changes, like you said. So it's pretty cool, man, that it's the same in both worlds. I mean, like I said earlier, I guess RF is RF any way you look at it.